Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Steve Marks.
And I'm Wade Wegner.
And I'm Flava Flav. Boys! Okay, we got a serious take now. Sorry.
Oh, no, that is
awesome.
No. Okay, good.
Thank you for joining us, Scott. Great to have you on the show.
Flava?
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Scott's here to tell us some stuff about SQL Azure and talk to us about handling transient failures and throttling and stuff like that. But we'll get to that a little bit later. First, of course, we're going to cover some news.
Yep. In case you've forgotten, I mean, it's been a little while.
That's
since
right.
We've had
we should
a show.
Remind people we should what this is.
Yeah, we should acknowledge that it's been a while.
Yeah.
You know, Steve and I have been contacted a number of times, so we're really sorry, but
hate mail, really.
Yeah. Steve got sick one week.
Like angry.
We were traveling one week.
Yep.
There was a blizzard up here, quite a blizzard.
I abandoned my car 4 miles away from my house and walked in the blizzard.
I think we have a picture of that happening. To you last year.
That's
of that happening to you
yes,
last year.
I
you in your
that.
Car.
Yeah.
I'll find that picture.
Okay, we'll pull that up. So it's been a while. But we didn't
back.
Go anywhere. We just couldn't get into the studio and whatever. Yep. So we're here. It is good to be back.
And real quick,
we missed you.
We did. And I missed you as well.
Oh, and I missed you.
I'm touched.
So real quick, I do want to make sure we take a moment to introduce Scott Klein properly.
Yes.
So Scott Klein actually just recently joined Microsoft and has joined the technical evangelism team for Windows Azure and SQL Azure as the SQL Azure technical evangelist.
Correct.
Yep.
So real quick, we've got this picture of you up behind in the background. Tell us what you did before you joined Microsoft.
I was the world-class bodybuilder. As you can tell, won numerous awards, but since joining Microsoft, I have since become the great hunk of a man you see today.
Nice.
It's all about priorities. You
it
know?
Is.
You just have to choose what's important in your life.
And SQL Azure is a jealous mistress.
It was. I mean, I abandoned that to come here. So you know how important SQL Azure is then.
Yes, absolutely. So no, but we're really happy that you joined the team.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
It's going to be great. And, we've got a good show covering and talking about SQL Azure from a development perspective.
Yep.
So, great.
Cool.
Let's take a look at the
news.
All right.
What do we got?
Azure Service Bus demo available.
From Brian Losgen. I know that's right.
See,
because
that's
I watched
times.
A video that you can actually watch here, too, and listen to him introduce himself.
Yep.
But Brian has this demo that actually, I guess a few people have worked. There's a story, if you want to read the top of this post, about kind of how this demo came to be and who's worked on it, whatever. It's kind of a collaboration, but Brian's been the main driver of this thing.
In fact, they've been working on it for over a year, so I think it's a...
It's true, and it's in a book.
In a book.
Which I think instantly things are more credible when they're printed in a book.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
So this is actually, this is one of those things that's more credible that way. So it's a service bus demo. I gotta be honest, I didn't read through the whole thing and understand like all of the details of it, but I do know that it covers, you know, sort of PubSub and relay stuff, and in fact apologizes in one place for sort of contriving the example a little bit to make sure that it used both of those things. But that's good for you because it means the demo actually covers those different things, puts them all kind of together into one sample. The blog post is really nice, but there's also a link. There are a couple videos, you can watch a video about it, and the full source code is up on CodePlex. And it just looked like a nice resource, and I know I've been seeing some positive things on Twitter and around the internet about it. So check it out.
Yeah.
Learn about Service Bus.
Very good resource. So great. I think today we announced, or was this yesterday?
So
I think it was today. We announced,
which of course for those of you watching the show means like a couple
days ago. Yeah, if we publish,
we time travel here.
Yeah, and it's actually it's 12:21 a.m. On Wednesday morning. No, wait, it's at 6. Okay, on Thursday, whatever.
At any rate, getting back to this news item. So SendGrid, which if you're not familiar with SendGrid, is a great resource for being able to send and relay SMTP, so sending email and so forth.
And receive email too.
And receive
APIs on the other
side
also.
That's true. Yep. I guess. My team uses SendGrid quite a bit for a lot of our demos. If you've used Fabricam Shipping, BidNow, BlobShare, we use that for the distribution of emails from sites running in Windows Azure. What basically we've announced is that if you're a Windows Azure customer and you use SendGrid, they've basically updated or increased the amount of free emails you can send up to 25,000 a month. Yep. So
for
great,
free.
For free.
All you have to do is sort of come in as a Windows Azure customer and you can take advantage of that.
So great resource. And what's really nice and is linked here too is there's a native API for the SendGrid service in a lot of languages. C#. They have a Node one, PHP and Java. Yep. And they're all up on GitHub so you can take a look at it.
So most of the stuff you'd want to be running in Windows Azure, probably you'd have a SendGrid library for that. And we now have tutorials in our development center so on WindowsAzure.com. For doing SendGrid stuff from the different languages.
So if you take a look here, here's the how to send email using SendGrid in C#, and walks right through it. So, in fact, really nice they've packaged these up as NuGets as well. Yep. So, I mean, gosh, anyone can do this. Even me.
Yeah, even Wade could do this.
So, good resources.
Given
enough time.
nice. I like it.
So, yeah, take a look. I mean, 25,000 emails, that's a lot. And
that's
probably
a lot.
Not enough if you want to be a spammer, I'm guessing. But, you know, if you have a legitimate
certainly
need.
Certainly enough to sort of, build a thing to email your customers or whatever, and at least to get started, you know, it would be enough to figure that out. And, of course, SendGrid sells, their service.
If you need to go beyond it.
To whatever extent you want to send emails, you can do that. But 25,000 is a quite generous kind of free offer.
It occurs to me, I think we're paying for 500 a month. I might have to look into this new offer.
You should.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Okay.
Windows Azure and Cloud9 IDE at the Node Summit, which is going on right now.
This is cool. Yes. Or was going on, I mean, by the time, we still got that time, time travel.
Time.
It's all about, Node Summit was this week, and there were a number of, Microsoft participated in a few ways. Yeah. We were a sponsor of the event. Scott Guthrie gave a keynote. Mm-hmm. Glenn Block did a workshop about Node.js in Windows Azure. Scott was also on another panel. We had Eric Meyer on a panel about the language. Yeah, there was a booth with a lot of folks from Microsoft there. So neither of us were there, but other people from the team and whatever were there. And pretty cool. And one of the things that we did there and that Scott showed there and did a demo of in his keynote is integration with the Cloud9 IDE, which is a browser-based IDE for writing code and running it and whatever. It's very popular. I don't think it's exclusively Node, but it's very popular among Node developers. Mm-hmm. And Cloud9, with a little bit of help from us, but actually they did this largely on their own.
Yep.
They built integration with Windows Azure so you could build your Node.js app in the browser in the Cloud9 IDE and then publish it to Windows Azure just by sort of clicking a button in the in their IDE.
Yep.
So very cool. Scott demoed that at Node Summit. That was, I think, the announcement of that ability. It's pretty neat. So it's a good option if you're doing Node.js stuff. It's a nice kind of, it's an IDE that's just in the browser and ready to go, and it's quite nice. So,
And as part of this as well, the team's put together tutorials, so there's a nice tutorial up in the Developer Center, so you can take a look at that as well and walk right through it. So really cool announcement.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
very neat. It's good to see sort of like the Node ecosystem kind of, of all of the ecosystems we've sort of entered as in the things I've been involved in at Microsoft, the Node community has sort of been the most receptive and sort of open and just excited that we're doing stuff and whatever. And so I don't know if that's because we did stuff right or that's just because that's the kind of community it is. But either way, it's really nice. You feel that kind of a lot of people in that community are interested in what we're doing and helping out. So this Cloud9 thing is one example of that. So,
that's great.
Very cool.
That's great.
Very cool.
Lastly, we've got an announcement that SQL Azure Import Export Service is now gone GA, so it's generally available. So actually, Scott, real quick, do you want to just tell us a little bit about the Import Export Service?
So yeah, the Import Export Service is the ability to take DAC packs from on-premise and or SQL Azure of the cloud, and it's a migration strategy. I want to take my database from on-premise, wrap that up in a DAC pack, and then use the SQL Azure Import Export Service to take that and bring that into SQL Azure. So it's an awesome migration strategy. Very simple, uses the DAC packs. That's been upgraded using SQL Server 2012. So now we don't have to use things like SSIS or BCP. Mm-hmm. Great import export utility right from the toolbar in the management portal to import export using DAC packs.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
That's cool.
It's very cool. So that's the news. So great. So now let's Let's shift the focus over to Mr. Klein, and we're going to talk about SQLite.
As
today.
Though anyone's been able to focus on anything other than the giant clock.
That's right. Look here.
Yeah, but we'll further focus on Scott.
All right. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the types of things that you're going to walk through today?
Okay, so. I'd be happy to. So what we're going to talk about today is we've seen a lot of chattiness, a lot of communication on the forums and on the internal aliases about, hey, you know, our customers are getting throttled or they're getting an error message, and they've heard a lot about throttling, and so they'll get these error messages, the queries won't execute or things like that, and they'll automatically assume, hey, I'm being throttled, and without really understanding what throttling is. And so what we're going to cover is, in the first few minutes, is to really understand throttling, the throttling types, the modes and the types of what's getting throttled, and how do we determine, are we getting throttled, and why are we getting throttled? Yep. And then from there, we're going to talk about ways to overcome those or help those situations by using a lot of the transient, the enterprise library and the transient fault framework to use the retry policies and things like that.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So, all right, well, let's transition over so that you can take us further.
Well, happy to. Awesome. All right, so what I want to talk about and show you is really, we don't have the, we can't really get an error message box here, but we can talk about some of the error messages you do get when you're working with SQL Azure. Things like, the service is currently busy or the service is experiencing a problem. And whenever you see these error messages come back, it'll have a code, but then there's a code at the end, and the code is just some number. Right, and those are just a couple examples, but you'll see some of these error messages coming back to say, hey, there's a problem, I can't connect, or experiencing an issue. And at the very end of those messages, you'll see a code. And the code is what we really want to delve into, right? And you're saying, okay, well, what do these codes mean? And a lot of times we'll go and search MSDN and really can't find those. And that's because you've got to do some magic to figure out what that really means. And so okay. We're going to walk through how that works. So
okay.
The way to do this is we're going to take an example and that has a code behind it. So what we're going to do is we're going to open up actually calculator. Yes, you got to use calculator to figure out how this stuff works, right?
Wow.
So we're going to open up calc, and you need to run calc as a programmer.
Interesting. Okay.
Now, trust me.
All right,
so the
I'm
key
with
to
you.
This, the key to this is I've got a Word document here, and again, what I'm explaining is very simple and explains this up on MSDN.
Okay.
So I'm not really explaining anything new, but kind of walk you through because it might take a while to find, but it's up there. There are different when you get a throttling. There's throttling modes and throttling types, and when you get throttled, there's what happens is there's a the SQL Azure agent is always running on the SQL Server box, and what happens is that it is continually monitoring all the databases on those boxes. And what it does is it will go through every database and say, hey, it'll determine whatever metrics it uses, okay, this is a high candidate to be throttled, or this is a low candidate to be throttled. Okay, and so and based on that information, it'll start applying this information to it, and then if you're continuing to be dumb and gonna hammer it, it'll come back and say, okay, we're gonna throttle you. Okay, so you're always
it's does it put that in the error output? Like
yeah.
You've been kind of ridiculous.
You've been kind of reason code 0x34. You're dumb.
You're dumb. That's right. What on earth were you thinking? Please stop that. Right, that's what it does. Okay, so again, this is up on MSDN. So what it does is you grab grab that last error code.
Okay.
It's at the very end, because it'll say, after the period, here's some error code. So for example, what we're going to use is we're going to use one that comes back that says, hey, the server is busy type. And the number we're going to use is make sure that decimal is selected and D word is selected.
Okay.
And what we want to do is we're going to enter the code 131075.
Okay. So that's the code that I would see at the end of the message.
That's the code.
I'm just typing it in here.
You're typing it in here. Exactly.
And a question, too. So when you say end of the message, is that like at the end of a string? So like there's a message that comes back?
Yeah, so it'll say the server's currently busy.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it won't be parameterized. It'll be at the very end of the string. The server is currently busy. Contact your administrator or some message.
And then it'll say like code, colon, and then a code?
Yep,
okay.
Code, whatever. Yep, so you'll know that that's the code you want to grab.
Got it.
Okay. All right? So at that point, we're almost done. It really isn't this difficult, but you, for some reason, they're making you open the calculator. So at that point, you grab and you change this to hex. There's your number. Okay. Now, based on this number, you then go into this information.
Okay.
So We're going to look at this, and what you do is you take the first three characters, so 200,
okay,
and then the last two characters, 03.
Okay.
Yep, I know. I was like,
look. I like it's just like a little puzzle to do.
That's
like,
right. It's like that monkey
thing. 200, 03.
200, 03. And so basically you're saying, okay, so 03 and 200. Where'd 200 go? That 200 right there. Yep. Thank you. Okay. So we now know that our throttle mode is you just got rejected everything.
Oh, so everything is being rejected.
Anything you do is going to be rejected. So yes, you have been throttled. Mm-hmm. And the type is high volume CP2 activity exists. So that's why you're getting throttled.
Gotcha.
And because of that, you're going to everything we're going to reject. So again, there's some you have to look at the code, go in here and do this, you know, hexadex type of thing, right? But grab the information. The key is that number. Grab that number and then go into these tables and figure out, right, the type is, you know, what type of throttling did the engine apply?
Yep.
Right? And based on that, what type of throttling are we going to do to you?
So in a scenario like this, I'm going to be issuing statements against SQLizer. Mm-hmm. Let's say I'm calling a stored procedure that's got a cursor in it, and I've done it a number of times, and that cursor is doing all kinds of different things, right? And suddenly, I start getting these error messages. I'm going to get this hex value that comes back, right? And,
well, you're going to get this the number 101131.
Okay, it's not
you
a hex.
Get it in decimal.
I get a decimal version
of it.
Okay.
Right.
I'm going to convert it back. Then I can parse it, and the first three characters are going to tell me the throttling type.
Why
and the
you're
last
getting throttled.
Two are going to tell me the throttling
the results
mode.
Of being throttled, yep.
Okay, and so in this scenario here, I would find out that, hey, I'm using too much CPU
you're
because
using
of those cursors or
right.
whatever.
I could imagine a very useful little console program that would that would do that for you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or
we
nice,
should think about
nice library or something
nice library.
Like that just handles like.
We should think about putting together. It wouldn't be that hard, right?
No.
Convert from decimal to hex, and then just sort of take different. Different digits apart,
right. Yep.
And then look up in a table that's static, right?
So, yep. Correct.
All right.
We should do that.
Although I think it's kind of fun. Yeah, let's just.
These guys are scheming.
Okay. Cool. So we know how to do that.
So we'll provide a resource or a link to the documentation, and I'm sure it'd be a good opportunity to send people here to blog. Maybe you can rearticulate this as well.
Absolutely. So I'll be blogging about everything you're going to see here, some examples, and you'll be downloading.
And you said you're going to create like a console app as a tool and a library to do this for us and all that stuff.
That's right.
So.
I better get started right now. All right. So now we can better understand why we're getting throttled, what's happening, and things like that. Right. So now let's talk about and shift to, okay, what can I do in my application to make sure I'm not getting these back, okay?
Yep.
So what I've done is I've started, now we're going to open Visual Studio, we can close our developer calculator, and I've got a sample project here.
Keep it open just in case.
Oh, yeah. We don't get throttled, no.
it's a special Microsoft login.
Wow.
Gauntlet has been thrown. All right, so very simple. We're not going to do anything too complicated here, but do want to illustrate how we can avoid some of these issues.
Yep.
All right, so the thing to do is, and most of you are familiar with the Enterprise Library that's been around. They're up to version 5 dot something. It's been around for quite a while.
Yep.
And what they've done is they've introduced what's called the retry logic into the Enterprise Library.
Yep.
Right,
so there's a transient fault handling application block.
It's been, and that's good to know because it's been changed. It is now called the transient fault handling application block, like you say. Right, so you look for that. Okay, and luckily they made it very easy. I can get it from
Nougat.
Woo! We love Nougat. Yes,
he panicked there for a moment.
Yeah, he put you on the spot.
On the spot.
Yeah.
Well, you're next. So,
shoot.
All right.
I'm just gonna say Nougat. Whatever you ask.
So the retry policy is called
Nougat.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So what we're gonna do is from the Nougat, we can download the Enterprise Library or the retry policies, and actually installs all the pieces. So what we're gonna do is we're going to, it's called install, and Wade can help me here. Package, and it's just simply called. You have to type the whole thing. Enterprise Library. And I wrote it down. Windows.
Tab completion should work here, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it should. You're saying it should or it does?
No. I think it does. I think you could tab at this point and you might find
I tabbed.
The right thing.
That took a minute, but there you go.
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you. That
saved
me for typing.
Typing. Think how many times you're going to do that and how many characters you're going to see.
Yeah, this is from the person that turns off IntelliSense in Visual Studio.
That is a fair point.
You now know something about Steve Marks that you never knew before.
Yeah.
All right. So install package Enterprise Library for Windows Azure Transient Fault Handling. Hit enter. Now you must have a project open, obviously, whenever you install a NuGet package. Okay. And we'll wait for a couple seconds. All done. And you'll notice over here in the Solution Explorer that it installed all the necessary components for what we need to work with for the Transient Fault Handling Library, right? So there's Windows Azure and everything we need to do.
Yep.
Okay? Awesome. So what we're going to do is we're just going to add
a
couple buttons, right? This is not, we're not going after a UI award here. We're just a couple simple buttons. If I win an award for this, there's a problem. Okay, so we're just going to throw in a few buttons on this, right? And because basically I want to show the different ways you can use the fault handling network, the retry, right? So what we need to do first...
Yeah. What?
I need your the code snippet piece, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, there's a really nice Visual Studio extension for highlighting and very quickly creating code snippets.
All right, so what we're going to do is we need to add a few using statements first. And the first thing we're going to use is we need to add for the retry logic. So we're going to say using practices. Oops, nope, Microsoft.practices. Dot Enterprise Library, dot Windows Azure, and please, I'm going to back up a second, because when you create your project, and this, I was talking to Valerie earlier, when you create your project, please set your target framework to 4.
Yeah. Not the client profile.
Yeah, if you create a console app, by default, it's the client profile.
Yeah,
so.
And the reason I say that is because when I was building this, the original demo and testing, I was getting that said, hey, couldn't find this, and I'm like, ugh. So, all right, so Windows Azure, dot transient fault handling, dot, and then it has one specifically for SQL Azure.
Okay.
Beautiful. And then we're going to add just a few more using Microsoft.practices.transient-fault-handling, and that's good. And we're going to use, use an example of we're going to try to hammer and get it to use the retry logic. So we're going to use system.threading.tasks, right? And we might need to add a few more, but we'll start there, right? And one more, using system.data.sql-client, okay? We may need to come back and add a few more. All right, so we're going to go into the load of button one, or the click event of button one, and we're just a very simple example on how to use the retry logic, because, I'll explain things as we go through here, but very, very, very simple. I've got my connection string already in here, so I'm not going to show you that. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to basically say using var, and I'm going to, let's do this the right way.
Yeah, you wanted that.
Var.
Yep.
Yeah, I did want that the right way. Equals. Now, we could say here, new reliable SQL connection.
That's different.
If I spelled it right. Reliable SQL connection. And this is different. This is part of the transient the transient framework, right? And what it allows us to do is to say, okay, how do we want to use this? So in this example, I'm just going to accept the default, because if we look at this, there are several constructors that we can apply to this, right? Simply a connection string, right? Or if we look at the constructors, I can apply a connection string with a retry policy or several retry policies.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
And I'll explain in a few minutes what those retry policies really are. Okay, but we're just going to accept. I think it's called con string, right? And then from there, I'm simply going to build my statement. So here, I can simply say con.
And as you're typing this, one thing. So feel free to keep going ahead. When we were talking with Valerie, one thing he wanted to make sure that we pointed out here. By the way, too, Valerie is on the. I think it was formerly the SQL Azure CAT team. I don't know.
Yeah.
Are they still the SQL Azure CAT?
I don't actually know what the name of that team
is. It was the customer advisory team. So
yeah.
these guys are engaged in some very large scale, very large scale solutions. And some of the frameworks they build to support these are things that come back into the enterprise library and so forth. And so at any rate, Valerie, one of the things he wanted to point out is you see that we've got a, what is it called again, reliable SQL connection.
Yep.
And he wanted to make sure that, point out, we're not really trying to create a new paradigm for working with SQL here. In fact, the practice that he recommends is to use extension methods, actually. And, you know, if you're used to SQL connection and some other things, don't have to necessarily change the way that you go about doing it, but you can attach some extension methods onto it so that now you've got a new constructor for SQL connection where you can attach things like the retry policies and so forth. So that was one practice that he had recommended, so that when you see this, don't freak out and worry like, oh, no, I've got a whole new set of things I need to worry about. There are some ways that you can mitigate that and work with what you're familiar with. So.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I wonder if we can, could we bump up the font? Because, like, just go to the Zoom and...
Zoom or control.
Either way.
Scroll, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm just wondering how it's going
to go. I'm not going to worry about that because I don't want to. I'm not going to run this. I just want to point it out. Sure. So here, what we're doing is we're just using the reliable SQL connection. We're not passing any of the retry policies to it, right? It's basically going to inherit the default policy, which is, I think, is 3 retries, and I think a default of 30-second per retry and things like that, right? Yep. And you notice also here that we also have on the command object an execute non-query with retry as well, right? And you'll notice on here we could also do the same thing. If we look at the constructor on that, right, there are several things there's that we could try with this, so policy retries along with that.
So there's a lot of flexibility.
There's a lot of flexibility. And this really isn't best practices because we really want to specify it on the connection, because then the command inherits from the connection and applies it all down, right? So this is just here's a very simple example on how to do this, you know, from a default, right?
Yep.
But
I can see a case maybe where you've got an open connection and you want to execute a new command against it.
Right.
Maybe something.
Right. And if it's if you're not doing a whole lot, maybe more read than write, and this may be something you want to use, right?
Cool.
Nothing very big, but let's now move on to the next one, where this is where we want to really get into the more appropriate type best practices of how we're going to do this. So here we're going to actually define a retry policy, and it is so simple to do this. In one line of code, we can define a retry policy. So
even you can define a retry policy.
Can try. Sorry, Flava Flav can retry a policy. All right, all right. So we're going to do basically retry policy, and we're going to call this my policy. Equals new retry policy, okay. And what we want to do here, we want to inherit the from the SQL Azure detection strategy. This is just a set of classes that helps with the retry. That kind of supports the retry policy classes, right?
But from some of the strategies.
Some of the strategy, right? And from there, we've got 5 ways, to support the retries of the retries. All right. So from here, we've got several constructors on what we want our policy to look like.
Okay.
So the first one is I just want a retry count, right? The defaults of everything else. So how many times do I want to retry if my connection or my query fails? Okay. Or apply my strategy here. But we can look at the ones I want to show is this one. So there's the retry count and a time span interval, meaning if it fails, wait however long, like minutes, seconds, hours, before you retry again. There's the time span, there's the initial interval, and plus the time span increment, or the what I like back on this one is the delta back off, right?
That's sort of the exponential kind of thing, right? Because each time we wait longer than we waited the previous time.
I waited an hour, but either just keep waiting, or increase the interval during my between retries, things like that.
So
right.
I've got a question, and it may be a slightly leading question, but it occurred to me as we're going through this. So this library is handling the retries for us, right? So it's essentially abstracting us from having to deal with it. But let's say I actually want to know why I'm getting throttled, or there's an error, or something's going on. So what are there strategies with this as well where, okay, so it's implementing some retry logic.
It is.
How do I go about finding out or discovering why I'm getting throttled?
Right. So,
basically getting the error mess, getting that code that you were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. So let's, we can say something like, all right, my policy dot, and there's a message down here called, where'd it go? Retrying. And this retrying, as you can see, it gives us a callback to say what's going on and what happened, right?
Yep.
So here's a way to say, in one of the examples we did, and we'll is kind of an extension method that we put to write back and say, if we get a retry, you know, write it out to the output output window, right?
Yep.
So through this retrying method, we can get feedback, yep, I'm retrying, and at least know that, yep, I retried.
So within that retrying event, I should be able to get some of the results that come back from SQL Azure, and then
right.
I can log it, or basically that way I could store it somewhere so that then I can yep. do some analysis. Because having the retry logic built in for me is great, but I should try to figure out why
yeah.
this is occurring, and there's probably some things that I can
do. You don't necessarily want to ignore that stuff.
Exactly.
It's just you want to automatically handle it, but you also want to know that it's happening.
So I can start optimizing my database yeah. a little bit better, get rid of those nasty cursors, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
I like the idea of doing it in an event, actually, because that's the way. So you can hook that event if you want,
yep.
or you can just ignore it if you want, and
yep.
And you can do either way, and presumably you can hook it multiple times, so if you want to log it, but also do something else or whatever.
Yep.
You can do that too, which is a good way to handle it, I think.
Right.
It's good.
Okay, and so at this point, you know, we're specifying here on a reliable SQL connection the connection string and then passing the policy. Now, notice we're passing it twice here. We're passing it once for the connection, because yeah. this is going to apply it to
it's
the connection.
It's just a confirmation. You just
yep.
have to, if you don't enter the same
yeah.
policy
if they don't
twice,
match,
then
you're
out there. Yeah,
well, so. That's right. That's right. We want some equality in our policies.
Yeah. Well, if you have a typo or something, so you type it in twice.
You type it in twice. Well, no, so this one's for the connection, and this one's for the command, right?
Ah, okay.
Right, so we need a... So if you want different policies, for one for your connection and one for the execution of your queries, you can create two different policies. Here, it's just we're going to create one policy, and they both apply, right?
Yep.
That type of thing. Now let's go on. And one more example, because we can also do this with the Entity Framework. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So let's go on and do the Entity Framework, and all these examples will be up on the blog, because there's a way to do this once on the command, because in this example up here, it said execute query with retry, and we don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. Best practices states that if we do this, once we've done this and specify the policy, we can just very simple say command.execute and pass it the we don't have to pass it a retry,
mm-hmm.
right? So we can just execute it, and everything's taken care of. So this is kind of best practices
okay.
right here, okay?
And so then our connection will handle the retries for
yep.
us.
So. Now, Wade was saying, you were saying earlier that, you know, one of the things that we've found out is, you know, there's the reliable SQL connection, but we can also do something like, and I'll just do this here, we can say SQL connection con equals new SQL connection.
Oh, yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. And we'll just pass it an empty, just for empty connection string. And here we can say con dot, I think it's in here, open with retry.
Mm. Okay? So this is an extension method
on the existing
SQL connection class.
Exactly. So the
cool.
question is, why would I use the reliable SQL connection versus just a standard connection with the open mm-hmm. with retry? And if we did a command, there's the same thing. There's a standard command with a command, you know, execute with retry.
Yep.
And so
right?
these are extension methods that come with the enterprise library.
Enterprise right? library, exactly. And the question would be, okay, why would I use the reliable SQL connection over just a standard SQL connection with the open with retry? And the reason is, okay, if you're developing a lot of developers really don't want to, hey, I'm used to the SQL connection. I don't want to have to worry about everything that's going on. You know, with another wrapper around SQL connection, are you developing a new application from scratch or things like that? So there's
sure.
a lot of things you really need to consider once you're using.
I like typing a lot more.
Yeah.
Much longer names.
Well, if you're using the templates, you know there's no
there you go okay.
right. But so I think the thing it's really up to you on how you want to use
okay.
these, right? A lot of developers.
And actually earlier I had mentioned writing your own. I guess I didn't even realize from talking. I missed it when Valerie said it. I mean they're already. Providing.
They're
so
already
you don't
providing.
Have to write your own extension.
You don't have to.
So,
it's
so
there.
Quick
and you can
clarification.
And
yeah.
even in here, you can still specify the retry policy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right?
Cool.
So you don't have to really roll your own on these retry policies.
But if I had existing code that was using SQL connection, now I can just do an install package, pull the stuff in, and then just on my connections just do dot open with retry, and
yep.
suddenly I get the default retry.
Define your policies,
yeah.
and what we're not going to cover here, just because of time, Flava, is that you can actually define these policies in your app.config and pull them in that way,
cool.
right? And that's out on the blogs and things like that, right?
Yeah.
So you're right. Just bring in the classes, dot open with retry, define your policies, and really.
Go.
inherit from there,
and
use the existing, right?
So one reason I can think of, just but tell me if I'm wrong, because I'm just thinking this now, to explicitly use reliable SQL connection as the class or whatever, is because then you get the type checking of, like, you make sure you're always using a reliable connection, and you don't forget to call the right extension method in one path through the code and find yourself not using the retry logic. Yep. And so perhaps if you're building all this stuff anew and with SQL Azure in mind and with the transient fault handling in mind, you might want to use that just as a way to enforce at the compiler level and whatever, that you really are using the right kind of connection and you've passed the right thing to each of your methods and whatever. So I can imagine that as a use for that, but otherwise it does seem awfully convenient to just use the existing class and do it with the extension method.
Yeah, and that's really, I think most developers are going to be familiar with that anyway.
Yeah, just, and they'll have existing code that expects that. And
exactly. Yeah. If you're developing a new application, maybe, right? Yeah. You might want to consider that, but you know, again, if it's an existing application or you just don't want to get outside the bounds or the box of, you know, the standard SQL connection stuff, everything's right there.
Okay.
All right.
So Entity Framework?
Any framework.
All right, let's wrap up with the Entity Framework. It's a very simple example, because now, you know, we've done the standard ADO.NET stuff, but people are going to go, I use the Entity Framework, how can I do retry policies with the Entity Framework? Because obviously we can use, you know, the Entity Framework to get connected to SQL Azure. People are doing that a lot. So I have in here, I do have a, I did do an entity data model, one table, very, very complicated in there. All right, so we're going to basically do for something very simple. So I'm going to say entity, you know what, I do have to go back and I do have to add one using statement. Sorry about that, we missed one.
You can type it in control dot.
We're going to use the whole control dot. So system dot data dot entity client. Yep, cool. I used it. All right, so there we go. So entity connection, right? There's a con equals new entity connection.
Cool.
Okay, and there's my string. Okay. Sure, I got the right one here. Oh, right. Okay, so let's go back. Jump back over here, and then we're gonna say using Northwind entities. What am I doing? Entities context equals new Northwest entities. Oh, my con goes here. String. Okay. Don't need that there, sorry. Okay. Do I have everything right so far? Oh, here I have to add, yes, I got to add one thing. But you know what? I'm not going to worry about that. Just for time, right? Because I want to illustrate, you know, how do we do the retry policy against it, right? So basically, we can define our retry policy.
I think you're going to want to put the
parenthesis there.
Yeah, and maybe a curly bracket instead of a semicolon.
Yep.
This is extreme programming. That's
extreme
how it works.
Programming.
My understanding of it is you type stuff and we go, no, you forgot to type that.
Well, I know we're running out of time, so we're going to we don't want that there, do we?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just trying to get through this real quick. All right. Northwind. Did I spell Northwind right? All right. So from there, we're going to, you know, let's just go up here and we're going to, just to save time, we're going to copy this retry policy. Right?
Great.
Okay.
And we're going to do put that in here. And now here's where it's very, very simple. We're basically going to say, my policy dot execute action. Right? And here is where it comes in, is our execute action, right? This execute action is what gives us the ability to do a retry policy. Mm-hmm. And it's really nothing more than that, because my link query, because now we just link to entities query, the same, right? So let's just wrap this up real quick. So we're going to say equal, right? And then within here is our link query, right? And so within our link query, now we just say, what is our link query? So we can say, check our connection open, var, employees equals, from where, things like that, right?
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of typing, but it's the execute action that's part of the enterprise library that allows us to do, that gives us the retry policy for a link to SQL query.
So this little lambda is the thing that gets retried.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
That's great.
Yep.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool.
Awesome.
So I've got a completed version of this. This is very not completed.
and you actually spent a lot of time. I think it's a WPF app, and it's got rich UI and
Sure.
Right?
as you wish.
Cool. No. Great.
No, that's great. So we'll put a link in the notes to whatever you've got on your blog, or you know, just we'll put that out there so everyone should be able to just scroll down there or something and click on
it. Right down there.
Yeah, right there.
Cool. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for walking through that.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here. Hopefully, you got a lot out of it.
Yep. And and I think now it's
that brings
time.
Us to that time.
Yep. The time before the tip of the week.
Yeah.
Where we introduce the tip of the week, and so we were chatting earlier. We had a lot of fun during the blizzard.
Yeah.
In fact, so when we weren't here at the office, there was a lot of snow. I mean, I think we got about eight to 12 inches in various places.
Nice.
And
for Seattle,
that's a lot.
This was an insane amount of snow.
And given how hilly it is.
Yeah.
And because of those hills, actually, Steve, Bob, and I were able to get out to the hills.
Bob,
and
you may remember, is a fabulous editor of the show.
Yes.
Yeah,
and so we were able to spend some time out on the hills and do some sledding. So we thought we would show some
tobogganing.
Tobogganing.
Yep, I think we had a snowball fight and
made
some snow angels and whatever. So, you know, I don't know. I assume somebody was standing around videotaping all of that.
Yeah.
And so,
or
at least taking still pictures. And Bob is somehow going to be able to find those.
Yeah.
So that would be really cool, Bob, if you could put together, you know, just a little bit, show people what the kind of fun we had in the snow.
Yeah. And actually, our team is also hiring, so this is a great way to get people interested in coming up here to Seattle and seeing what it's like.
The entire city shutting down because of snow. Come on down.
Yeah. Great. All right. Yeah. So with that, here's your tip of the week.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow.
And we're back.
Okay. That looked like fun.
That was good times.
I'm sure.
So, yeah. All right. So we have a brief tip here. So recently, someone on our team actually, who just joined, Brady Gaster. You'll be hearing from him a lot here pretty soon. Was asked some questions because in certain cases, when you go to first initialize the compute or the storage emulator on your machine, you may end up getting an error message. In fact, this is what the error message looks like. And it's where it tries to create a master database locally, mm-hmm. and it fails. And a couple of quick points. The storage emulator uses SQL Server locally, so SQL Express or SQL Server, to basically store the state for blobs, tables, and queues. So you'll still interact through the same APIs, doesn't mm-hmm. change any of that, but it does use SQL Server for it. And in certain contexts, when you don't have the right permissions to the database, if you go to try to initialize the compute emulator, you may encounter this error message. And our team does a lot of, we build a lot of hands-on labs, a lot of virtual machines that we hand off to users and so forth. And so we've built some scripts that make it really easy to recover from this. And so what I thought I would do is just share this script. And you can see, here's the script. It looks pretty complex.
Mm-hmm.
At the basics, all it's doing is it's essentially adding your user to the sysadmin role so that when you go to then reinitialize the storage emulator, everything works. And so all you need to do to make this work essentially is come over to here. I set it as a gist. I actually did this in case someone decided to make it even better,
mm-hmm.
you know, make it simpler, I don't know. And you can download. It'll download as a gzip. Unzip it. You'll get the command file. And then just execute it from an elevated command prompt. And that's going to add your user context into sysadmin so that then when you go to run dsinit, which is basically initializing the storage emulator or just running the storage emulator for the first time, you will be able to successfully create a database.
I think this commonly happens because, like, somebody on the system installed SQL or whatever, and a different user is the one who's now launching storage emulator or something.
Yep.
And so it's trying to do it. It doesn't have permissions. This just fixes the permissions.
Two contexts I know. Simple. Like, if I rebuild a machine, let's say, and mm-hmm. before I join the domain, I log in as a local user set everything up. Yeah. And then when I come in as my domain user, then this happens. The other thing is if you ever let someone log into your machine, yeah. and then they go to initialize it, so you've got multiple users. So yeah. It comes up a lot. This is a real quick and easy solution for it. So
very cool.
Yeah. Great.
All right.
Well, that's it.
As always, if you want to interact with us in the show, you can go on to Twitter and tweet to @CloudCoverShow.
Yep.
And are you on the Twitters?
Yeah, I'm on Twitters. I am at SQL Scott.
SQL Scott.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So at SQL Scott to get to Scott. Scott, thanks for being on the show. That was pretty awesome.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time.
Thanks.